Today is January 24th, 2021, Sunday, 1:40 Eastern Time in the afternoon, Sunday. And this is the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee. And I'm the chair, Nancy Sabar, and I told me I'm going to call the roll. From KPFA, Janine Etter. Janine Etter, I do not hear you. From KPFK, Los Angeles, Oscar Ulloa.
Present.
Oscar is present. Okay, and Polina Vasiliev?
I'm here.
Polina is present. And from WBAI, Jack Devine?
Jack here.
Jack is present. Jack Devine is present. And Sharon Salam? Sharon, I do not hear you. Ralph Pointner?
Here.
Ralph Pointner,
how are you?
Is here. I'm happy here. Oh, we're all here. And KPFT, Wally James.
Here.
Wally James is present. And Nancy Sidebar and I told you, that's me, I'm present. And Sanford Weinman.
Present.
Mandy Weinman is present. And from WPFW, Lucille Perez.
Present.
Lucille Perez is present. And Thomas O'Rourke. Thomas, I do not hear you. That's unusual. Okay. And from WRFG, Heather Gray from
here.
I'm Heather Gray, present. Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, we grew. Okay, 9 out of 12, and of course, quorum is established. Good, good, good. Wonderful, wonderful. Some of you people have some emergencies in your family, or you have some work you have to go to, and you're certainly forgiven. But thank you for being here for roll call and making quorum. All right. Today, I don't have an agenda ready, but we've got a lot of stuff on our plate. I would like to hear from the committee what you would like to do on the agenda today. Somebody said something about the figures. Was it Nielsen ratings that Nancy Sorden sent, or was it the...
Yes. Based on the email that Jim Dingleman sent around January 22nd, Pacifica audience, or State of the Pacifica audience.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The numbers basically coming back off the Nielsen ratings. I think we need to have a frank discussion about that.
Uh-huh. Did everyone receive the Nielsen ratings that Nancy Sorden sent of all the stations? Does anyone need it?
I need it. Lucille.
Okay, Lucille needs it. All right. Anybody else need it? Did everybody get it? The Nielsen ratings.
Nancy, this is Polina. I want to clarify. Uh-huh. There were two different emails. One was Nancy Sorden's... Nancy Sorden forwarded us the link to Nielsen's for the five stations, and then there was the Jim Dingleman's analysis how would you say it, summary perhaps of that. I don't know how different those two emails are. They should be based on the same data. I have both,
okay.
but.
All right. So Lucille is lacking the Nielsen's, and how about anybody else from Nancy Sorden sent? These are the actual Nielsen ratings. Does anybody else need it? Really? You all got it? Okay, then I will. I'm surprised because I didn't know she sent. Yeah, she sent to all the stations, I see, except Bug the BAI. She says Save BAI Coalition and WBA Fight Back. But didn't send to the WBAI. Okay, so Jack, are you okay? Do you have the Nielsen ratings?
Yeah, I got them.
Oh, you got them. Okay. I wish somebody would send it to all the stations every year, so we don't have to be wondering and begging the managers. And if the manager doesn't want to do it, then we don't get it. You know, this is silly, being secretive about this thing. I'm sorry, I'm complaining out loud. Okay, so Lucille needs that. All right, let me send it to Lucille right away. All right, does any other...
I need both of them.
You need both? Okay. Okay, let me see if I can get both. And somebody else want to put something on the agenda? Okay, I just sent the Nielsen ratings to Lucille and Dingleman. Okay.
Nancy, it's Wally. I thought I had it, but I can't find it. Could you send it to me?
Okay,
too?
I'll send it to Wally, too. Okay. Just a minute.
Nancy, this is Heather. I'm going to ask if you could send that to me as well, please.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me...
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Sandy, would you like to start since you brought this up, your perspective, and summarize what these others, they're waiting to get it.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Get off the speakerphone here. Maybe I'll take the echo off. Yeah, certainly as we look at these numbers, collectively, all of us, all five stations, every programmer, every program has to wonder why these shares are so low. The only one escaping the decimal point, in other words, having a share above 1% at the times is PFW. That's it. We're not in good shape here. We're not getting money in during our fund drives. We all know that's the root of all evil. And this is supposed to be a committee that talks about programming, and I'd like to think that it can be with a perspective of keeping an eye on what we need most right now, which are dollars, funds, and funding, and law of large numbers. The more listeners we have, the more funding we're going to get, period. I say this from the perspective of having 23 years plus of on-air fundraising experience. So I'd like us to think about what we're seeing here and start asking some questions as to what's being listened to and funded and what is not being listened to and funded in the context that, you know, our airtime is very valuable and it's not necessarily the topic that's being presented or the community that's being featured, but rather it's the way it's being done, the presence on the air, the preparedness of the programmer or program team, and how it strikes the ear. Because if all that is not in place, then we're not utilizing our airwaves to the extent we need to get those funds. Thank you, Nancy.
Let me clarify. Let's see, was it Wally and Lucille and Heather that needed both? Is that right? Anybody
yes,
else?
Yes, for me. Yes, thanks. Heather.
Okay.
Heather.
Okay, I have sent to, I don't know if Wally asked or not, but I sent Wally and Lucille and Heather, both, all three, two things. The Nielsen ratings from Nancy Sorden from Washington and the Jack Dingleman from New York, his analysis based on these Nielsen ratings, plus he puts a little bit more. Okay, anybody? I open the floor. Okay, Sandy is worried about us making money. I think we all are worried about that. I would like Washington to tell us, what are you doing? Go ahead. Who is that?
This is Jack.
Jack, go ahead.
Well, I mean, this is clearly a pressing conversation that we have to have, and regardless of whether the Nielsen's fully reflect listenership, I think the numbers are still not nearly where we'd want them to be. And I think there's a variety of factors pushing at that. I mean, one is that I think the audience that would be geared towards the kind of political content that is on our airwaves is now would tend to be younger and is finding it that through different means. I don't think that means that the radio is not important anymore. I just think a lot of it has to do with going forward, kind of fusing the presence of the terrestrial radio with a more robust online presence, a further integration with the sort of both audio content in terms of podcasts and other things, the sort of the publications and organizations in which younger politically engaged people find themselves. So I think it's the kind of the way of going about, I think there's kind of a multi-pronged approach of sort of sustaining these stations, increasing the ratings on the terrestrial side of things, but also kind of just increasing engagement through a variety of platforms through which people are engaging with Pacifica's content. Because, you know, while the numbers of something like, for example, like Democracy Now! Is still the most listened to hour on BAI, but it's also getting it gets a massive number of listens online. And, you know, Democracy Now! Has its own kind of separate apparatus, so it's partially a separate, a different conversation, but I think it's kind of reflective of what we're going to have to be doing at the station going forward, which is, you know, seeing the on-air as just one aspect of potential listenership. And that, I mean, that's what we do at Revolutions Per Minute. We have a significant podcasting listenership that goes on top of our radio listenership. We're also kind of, we're on some other mediums as well. And this kind of one kind of grows our audience, and will be key to the sort of membership drive that we're going to push for buddies at BAI, where we kind of, the steady listenerships that we have through podcasts and the connections that we have through NYCGSA, we're going to be kind of pushing forward a membership drive to sign up members of the organization to support the radio station as a whole. And I think this is, and hopefully we'll have the sort of data to prove this as an effective a mechanism of fundraising going forward, so that this is something, a model that can be pursued going forward. Does that make sense to everyone?
I have a question for Jack, Nancy. You said the DN's online listenership is from the archives. You're talking about from the BAI archives you're monitoring. Is that what you're saying? It's also good?
Actually, so what we do with Revolutions Per Minute, at least, is that we either record the file. We used to download it from the archive, but we actually now just record it live through Zencastr, which it when we're doing it remotely just enables us to record on different mics, so the sound quality is higher than when people are phoning in or calling in via their computers. But we upload each episode on our own platform through Simplecast. So we have a separate podcast network that is on top of what's going on the radio station. And through that podcasting, it's just that separate network. Our show has like over 55,000 downloads. It's, you know, somewhere around 10,000 unique listeners total. So it's, you know, it's a way that we can monitor. It's just a way that we're reaching people who are not listening live, but we're kind of connecting them with the radio station because they're still hearing it, the recorded live. And we don't cut out like the fun drive or anything like that. So it's just, it's a way of kind of hitting different platforms, and you can then kind of promote the content on social media. So yeah, we have a separate podcast network that we do on top of what we're already doing live. I mean, it's the same exact content, but it's just the show itself, we run it through NYCDSA.
You said a whole bunch of letters. I couldn't catch it. So could you say that again? You run it through
So it's through Simplecast. It just, we're, as the official show of New York City Democratic Socialists of America, our Simplecast is paid for by the organization.
Okay.
It's not something that's paid for by Pacifica or WBI or out of our own pockets, but through the organization.
And so it's not air ready to go on. You're talking about all kinds of shows. You said 55,000 downloads, so it's all kinds of shows, right?
Oh, no, it's just our, I mean, that's not per week. That's like our total, but that's our just one show. We tend to get around like 900 downloads per week through like our podcasting alone.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. Sandy, I think I heard your voice. Go ahead, Sandy.
Yeah, so I had a question, Jack. In terms of receiving funding at Fund Drive for Pacifica, these various channels that you're working through, has that had an impact that you can measure?
Yeah, so what it hasn't come to fruition in the way that we are currently actually working towards. So we've been able to like pull in buddies from people who just listen to podcasts, but what we are going to be doing going forward is doing a focused membership drive in the organization. And some of the stall on that is actually we've been promising people for a while that there will be a official partnership between WBAI and Verso Books, that we've been kind of waiting on the updating of the revenue system, which has been a shift over to a kind of a new online tracker, Allegiance. I'm not someone who can kind of get into the details of that because I don't fully understand it myself. But we've been working on that side to kind of push through the new e-commerce system that will enable us to have this sort of partnership with the other kind of independent less media institutions that exist. Well, they're based in the city, but obviously are kind of international, like Verso or Haymarket. But yeah, I mean, we will kind of, I guess, see how this model pays off over the next couple months when this membership drive is getting hit. We're kicking it off at the beginning of February, and we're hoping to have results by the end of April. We originally had a success story back in June of 2019 when we were able to sign up over 100 new listener members within in 2 weeks in order to get people signed up for the elections. And so this is kind of, rather than the sort of one-time donation that we had success with, but obviously is not enough to sustain the stations long-term, we are looking to sign up at least 100 or so buddies, new buddies of monthly donations by the end of April, and then turn that into over 500 new buddies associated with the show by the summer, and then continue to drive that model home. We hope to put that out actually nationally afterwards.
So let me throw a question out to everybody just with respect to the very, very low numbers, the minuscule numbers. In Houston, we're probably in the worst. We've got a cum of 15,600. There is no carryover audience. Our schedule has no conformity. In other words, you can go from one genre to the next, and it's a complete U-turn or 90-degree turn. Can somebody, or maybe somebody would like to chime in on the topic of uniformity of schedule, a schedule that has carryover from one show to another rather than the sharp tune-outs and tune-ins that we see in Houston?
Maybe somebody from WPFW, Jazz and Justice, whatever they're doing, the formula seems to be working better than whatever we're doing at KPFK or elsewhere.
Lucille, what are y'all doing?
I would probably have to leave that to the direction of our program director and the flow that has been very successful. I would say that the audience is a historic audience. And they're faithful listeners. I'm a faithful listener. I tune in specifically to get the justice component early in the morning or in the morning hours, and I enjoy the music in the afternoon. So in terms of a smooth flow, that's what I get. And then I also tune in for the blues. So I know that in the afternoon when I need that type of music, I can tune in then. So that's a, I don't know if that really speaks to the science that you want, but as a listener, that's the romance I have with WPFW.
This is Thomas.
Oh, Thomas. Good. I'm glad you're here. I'll put you down. I didn't know you were here. Okay, Thomas, we're wondering what WPFW is doing because we looked at the Nielsen ratings that Nancy Sorden sent and also the analysis by Jim Dingleman who sent. And if you are lacking those two, let me know and I'll send it to you. But the rest of
what are you talking about?
Recently, Nancy Sorden sent...
Nothing like that. Nothing.
Oh,
from it.
Okay.
Yeah, and neither from Dingleman. I really don't know what you're driving at in terms of PFW's audience. It's not that big. It's, you know, but, you know.
0.8 is ahead of everybody.
Is it really?
Oh, yes.
0.8 of D.C., is that... does that translate to more listeners than New York or just a larger share of a much smaller market, which, of course, D.C. is much smaller than any of the other four.
Okay. While I'm sending this to Thomas, Sandy, can you answer that question?
I think we're talking about a measure of market share in total, okay?
Right.
So it's a percentage. Okay. It's not absolute, okay? So when you're asking that question, you're asking a valid question. However, it's relative, isn't it? These are the available listeners, and this is the share that you're getting.
Right. Okay.
Makes sense? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you've got to think about it in that context. So
I'd say this in terms of our sort of our grid. It's, you know, it's heavy with music. The public affairs is contained in the usually the mornings and into the afternoons. That one of our, you know, maybe a minority complaint, but a strong one for the last few years is that our evening drive time is very inconsistent. We do not have consistently public affairs. There's a show called Live at 5 that they have, you know, musicians playing live in the studio, and they interrupt it at times, and they carry other shows at certain days of the week. But when it first started, Live at 5 was meant to be a, you know, 5 to 6 evening drive, you know, live music. And it was always sort of controversial because it didn't raise money. You know, they didn't attempt to very often. And in fact, it was kind of since they had to spend some money to book these guests, it actually cost money. So, you know, I'd say our evening drive is fairly inconsistent. And as far as the vision of management, I'm not aware of anything they've articulated, and we've been trying to work with them. So, that's 0.8. I guess is good. Like I said, it's, you know, a lot of it is music and public affairs in the morning and in the afternoon when, you know, a lot of people are at work. So. I don't have much more insight into the numbers beyond that, so I'll stop. Thank you.
Okay. You know, this is Nancy. I'm going to put myself on the stack. At KPFT, the blues makes lots of money, but our blues shows are on the weekends. They're almost all of Sunday, like 10 hours straight of Sunday, starting at 6 a.m. until 5 p.m., just blues. And they make the best money, I would say, consistently. I can't say the best, but I mean big money. We could not exist without the music shows, and it's like that network wide. They always make more than the public affairs shows.
So what we're saying is, if you tell us your okay, I want to go back to what Jack said. They're doing a push for BAI buddies. If anybody doesn't know what that means, it means sustainers, right, Jack? BAI buddies.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay. Those are monthly donations. So
yes.
And I think this is a key model to look at going forward, because it's not just something that is able to sustain BAI, but it's been a key sort of thing that's sustained a lot of independent media recently, whether that's kind of publications or podcasts that kind of just rely on these monthly subscribers. And there's a lot of different methods that like these institutions go about it. Some of it, they don't like offer any premium content. They just maybe give you a book deal or something if you sign up with it. But some of other ways of going about it have been, you have some of your content for free, and then you have sort of special shows that are behind the paywall. So there's a lot of different ways of going about doing something like that. But I would like to, in the sense, with the buddy model, it actually, at BAI, the public affairs shows, some of them do fare really well on this model. There are, like Democracy Now! Has a large number of, buddies that, are sustaining in its name. There's a few other shows that are up there. And that's something that we're, as I was describing before, about to make the push for with Revolutions Per Minute, and I'm fairly confident that we will have a large number of sustaining buddies in our name. So I think, and maybe this is something that I can come back with more evidence once we're through that process, but I think that's really the model to go for with public affairs shows going forward. And I think thinking of how we, if we're doing public affairs shows, how are we directly connecting with the sort of people who are most likely to become sustaining subscribers. And those I would garner are people who are already involved in organizations and have organizational connections that can, in member organizations, and the connect with other members of that organizations. You could become sustaining members and see their politics kind of on the airwaves. I think this is something that could be pursued at a lot of different stations. Sorry if I'm kind of going off on a tangent there.
No, but it's good to hear that again. Yeah, and the word buddies is so much more catchy than sustainership. Please have a sustain. Please be a BAI buddy. I mean, which would you rather do? Just hearing it.
I'd rather
a nice, catchy name. Go ahead.
Paulina, I'd like to request
yes,
a stat,
go ahead.
Please.
Yes, go ahead.
So I think we're having two different but very connected conversations. The first one we started was about our market share, so to speak, right? Percentage of of the listenership, available listenership, people who are listening, and it's dismal for many, many stations right now. PFW is doing better than all other stations, apparently. That was interesting to know. Now, the other conversation is, of course, funding. Now, I would urge everybody to read, and I'm not sure if everybody got it. I'll forward a letter from Michael Novick, who does a good analysis about why listenership has been dropping consistently over the last years, if not decades. And and Michael points to the fact that we really haven't done market research in terms of figuring out what the needs are among in our signal areas, in terms of the needs of the communities. What do people want to hear? Not just the current listeners, not just the former listeners, but the listeners that we could potentially be reaching, right? So why is it? Is it because we're not covering the issues that people want to hear about? Is it because that the young people are not hearing their voices often enough? Is it? It could be. I mean, but that kind of research needs to be done. And it, you know, if it takes a team of volunteers to survey people to figure out how to bring then later, right, after once that research is done, to bring on voices that would actually speak with and from the communities that that are in our signal areas, whether those signal areas are small or big or huge, like the first radio market, right, being New York, second being LA, whatever we're, you know, whatever needs to be done, we're not doing it, it seems. And of course, we don't have a budget for it currently. Everybody is struggling, or pretty much almost everybody. Now, and it's curious to me to see that KPFA, which purports a successful model in comparison to the other stations, right? We always hear from, at least I get emails from KPFA folks highlighting how they are the one successful model, but if you look at their Nielsen's ratings and their market share, it's nothing to be proud of either. So I'd like to hear folks' ideas about that.
Go ahead, anybody?
This is just Jack. Sorry, I gotta hop off. But this has been
okay.
a great conversation. And sorry, I gotta head out a little early. But I'll come back when I have a more kind of concrete report and information, both on kind of the way that we're trying to grow listenership and increase younger people, which has grown actually at DAI slightly according to Linda. And I'm curious how that relates to what we're kind of doing. But also on the membership drive stuff, and I'll try to send out that information as soon as we have it to everyone.
Yes, and when are your blues on New York in BAI? Your blues shows? Do you have? You must have, right?
I actually don't. I'm not sure what time. Let me check.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Thank you for your great contributions. Thank you, Jack, and thank you for your time. Okay, next.
Thanks, everyone. All right, bye.
Uh-huh. All right, Thomas and Lucille, a few years ago, 2016, I believe, WPFW made a beautiful postcard of their station, and on the backside of it, it had pictures, color pictures of some of their star programmers. And on the other side, it had a beautiful collage of an old-time radio plus a tower plus WPFW. And I heard that the board members made a whole bunch of them. I don't know how many, 1,000 or 2,000, and just went to events and passed them out. And I heard it on the finance committee, and Nancy Sorden said, you improved your membership by 1,000. And I said, and I wrote her, I didn't even know who she was. I said, send me a postcard, please. She did, and I showed it to the new IGM. I think it was Obidike Kamau, and he said, "Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, can I have it?" I said, "No, this is my only copy." But I said, "Where did you pass it out to?" She said, "Oh, we just went anywhere where there were lots of people and events, and we passed out these. It was hard postcard. It wasn't a flimsy flyer, and it was just pretty, and it had questions on the back, or what kind of committee would you like to volunteer in, and it just showed a list whether people are going to do it or not, but it showed how much busyness was going on in that station. Anyway, that's an outreach thing that I wish we had a national outreach committee where we could just compare with all five stations. Maybe I'm thinking of making a Zoom. We got to get the new people, the new audience that doesn't even know about us, instead of trying to keep pulling money from the same audience. So PFW, you know what? It might be because the situation has been so terrible with Mr. Trump that people have more interest in what's going to happen on the news. And Washington is like it's like on fire with news.
Right? Yeah. Nancy, Thomas says that.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, I was just going to say, I, Lucille, I don't know if you remember that postcard. I think there have been, you know, more than one example. And, yeah, they do have a, you know, they do help from what I've gathered. I can't remember the exact thing you're referring to. 2016, I wasn't on the board. But, yeah, as a way, we've thought of, at one point we explored, you know, doing ads for the station on the buses. There was some talk to some negotiations with WMATA, which is the metro here in D.C. of the buses and subways. And, you know, nothing came of it as far as I know. Maybe a few signs on the buses were actually placed. But, you know, as a way to publicize the station. And, you know, these are efforts. Often, I believe they were looking at WMATA because there was a possibility of a, you know, a non-cash transfer of services, so to speak, a bartering placement for PFW and some PSAs for WMATA. And I don't really know how far it went. Anyway, that's it.
WMATA, are you talking about the WMATA Inn?
No, WMATA, Washington Metro Area Transit, is buses and metro, you know, signage to publicize the station I'm talking about, like a la that postcard, which was, you're right, it was handed out by LSB members, you know, on occasion at, you know, community events and things like that. And it helped, you know, it had some impact because you're right. The postcards were well done, and you know, they lasted apparently for a while on people's you know, on people's desks and things like that.
Yeah, I didn't want to throw it away. It was just so beautiful. It was artistic.
Yeah.
I don't know where I put it. I'd like to find it. Do
no,
you have
sure,
a spare
sure.
one? Do you have a spare one? You can take a picture of it and send it to the committee. If you find one, or you know somebody's got one, or you...
Well, I'll ask. I can certainly ask around. You know, someone has them. There, our secretary, I'm sure, would have a PDF of it. Yeah.
Yeah, a picture of it, both sides. That was really well done. Anyway, I mean, it was. We could all do that, you know. But you know, it's the younger people. I think that would catch their eye, but they want something they can click on their phone. And see, you know, like, we got to develop visual audio, you know. And I was thinking the music programmers, how can they catch the younger audience that wants to click on with just a click? They got to put something visual into the music shows. Maybe organize local dancers. I'm sure they'd like to do something. There's a lot of young people that are doing dancing that can't go to a dance school now. Maybe they can do a dance synchronizing with the music that's being on the music show and do a show maybe on something live, Facebook or something live, and ask for donations that way. Anybody want to stack?
Nancy Thomas to the stacks. I have a point of order, actually.
Uh-huh.
Are we working from an agenda? The last thing you sent was, well, you sent a bunch of things. In one of the emails, it seemed to have notes from the last meeting. Was there are we working from an agenda is my question.
We have one thing on the agenda Sanford put on because I came unprepared. I have not finished the December 13th nor the January 3rd minutes. And the December 13th had the, we were working on the new programming committee at each station, and we had not finished that. And I'm sorry, I have not listened to the rest of the meeting to make the minutes, and so I don't even have a good memory. But we were like, yes, plus some things we wanted to add to the programming committee that needs to be at each station started. And let's see, and today's agenda, Sandy put on, let's discuss these CUMs, which we said WPFW is doing better than anybody else, any of the other stations.
Right, I got that, yeah. Okay.
And money-wise, too. you're not really in the red as much as the KPFK is. Really, we have to help KPFK. They need to do what they decided, what the PMB decided, cut their salaries by 30%. And they've cut by 10 at first. That wasn't enough. And now I hear they're laying off management that has no severance. So that's still more. It's like 30 paid people. At KPFT, we only have, let's see how many we have now. One, two, three paid workers now, I think. The general manager, the business manager, and a contracted membership coordinator. So we're, but KPFT has always had volunteer programmers. We didn't have money to, you know why KPFT is still in existence? Because the other stations, BAI, WKPFA, and KPFK, were giving money to KPFT because we could never make our budget when we first started. I mean, Cliff Smith told me, this is an old programmer, he's no longer at the station, but he said we never could make our budget. And if we hadn't had the money handouts from those older, from New York and Washington, didn't come until later after us, New York and the West Coast stations, I mean, we wouldn't be here today. We really appreciate to those other three stations for keeping us alive.
Nancy, when you were saying how many members we employees we have, there's also Bobby, so there's four people.
Well, I'm not sure if he's still working.
Wally is correct, Nancy.
He is still working. I have email correspondence with him. I know he's still working.
Okay,
he's
good.
Still working, yes.
Something changed. Oh, okay, we have four. All right, that's wonderful. I did not know for sure. Who is that?
This is Paulina. To clarify,
yes, Paulina, go ahead.
Bobby's a contractor, but we shouldn't be really going into personnel matters so much.
Could you hear me?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Paulina. This is Lucille. Go ahead. Lucille, is that you that wanted the floor? Was it Heather? Who said something?
No, it wasn't.
Ralph,
no, it wasn't me. No.
Hi, Ralph. Okay,
yeah,
Ralph, you want the floor?
I'm on another Zoom, organizing Zoom, but it seems to me I'm going to say the same three dirty words that have been said over and over again, that people kind of have difficulty dealing with. And that is content, content, content. And if you have content, all of these other creative instruments of communication will work, cell phone, et cetera. But if you have to have the content, and without the content, no one is interested. Ralph out. I'm on another program, an organizing of Zoom, because we must organize to educate. And if we don't have, we don't have enough of it. The education, pointing out the contradictions, the constant contradictions everywhere in this society. We're behind. We're supposed to be an education institution as well as an entertaining institution. And so it boils down to content. Thank you.
Hey, Ralph?
Yeah.
Is your number still ending 759, right? I'm going to call you later.
Yes.
On a separate programming issue, I'm going to call you.
Okay.
This is O'Rourke in D.C. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, the two. All right, I missed the ball about inviting the PDs from all the stations, and I remembered this morning. So I extended the invitation to the East Coast and to KPFA. And I got a response. So Linda Perry and Katia Stitt of WPFW, they're interested in coming to give their perspectives. And I gave a I think I sent a carbon copy to the group, so to the committee, so you can see what I told them, and they sent me they're happy to do it, but at a different time, not today. So I asked Eileen Rosen, because I was having trouble to host the meeting for next Sunday, and I did Eileen did it for me because I couldn't get through to do it, and so I have posted the 31st on January, and if these ladies can make it, fine. Then we'll give them 30 minutes each to talk and to answer our questions. And I put some proposed motions that we have, but I would like us to come up with other questions or other burning things and to ask them when they come. I haven't received a reply yet from Laura previous, but I waited and for about an hour and a half after I sent Washington and New York, and then I extended to Berkeley, and then I will ask the other two West Coast, and our newest GM, who is also PD, is David Bays from Houston. Ask him to give his perspectives. Now, you want to send me some kind of list of questions or something you want me to ask, or that we can, or send the group. Just send the group questions if you like, and so everybody can look at them and be kind of thinking themselves similar or their question to ask or what they want to talk them to talk about. And so if these ladies cannot come the 31st, I want the body's opinion. Shall we go ahead and meet and work on the programming committee at each station that, you know, does not exist at all stations? Only three stations have one. It's the West, East Coast, and I think the LA is trying to start theirs up. Right?
Yes, this is Paulina. LA has started a programming committee, which I have not participated on, but maybe we should invite somebody from that committee to talk to us as well. That might be easier. I don't know if we want to meet in a week, or should we continue with our practice of meeting every 2 weeks?
Yes, we've been meeting every 2 weeks. So it's just that if these ladies do come next week, then we can maybe kill two birds with one stone. We can hammer out this programming committee motion so we can hurry and start that up, because that really needs to hurry up and get started, unless the committee wants to wait. We worked on it on the December 13th meeting, and we did not finish it, I believe. And what else do we have on? Okay, these other things I sent the committee, things that we were going to ask them, like Pacifica in the Streets. We're going to ask the GMs about their opinions and perspective, and also about having high school students, you know, can we have permission, authority to engage with high school teachers and at different schools to let the kids work on making scripts of Black history, or, you know, 1 minute cards or 2 minute cards of Black history, Arab history, Asian history, indigenous Indian history, to be played, and have the kids' voice on it, making it. So they're producing it. Some of these kids have really nice equipment at their schools, much better than we have at KPFT. We had discussed this. I just put that in there. What else? What was the main thing? Oh, yeah, the communications, a means for all programmers and engineers and LSBs to communicate with each other. We called it a Pan Station. Now I can't even find it, if it really exists or not. And so I'm not sure if that's the right name. So that the management and the programmers can, although they cannot physically see each other anymore, and they don't really know each other unless they've seen them, but they can talk with each other on a email, by email. So we haven't hammered out those two things. So we don't have anything else on the agenda except, what Ralph said, content. I think we should, we need more content, perspectives, yes. That is really needed now. Did anybody want the floor? I thought I heard something. No? Okay. Of course, outreach, yes, it depends. You know, we can bring out these beautiful postcards that we'll do. But even people, usually on the fund drives, we get new members. But keeping members, that's different. That's different. Then it's easier to get new members than to keep. That means we have to make our public affairs more splendid and our music shows more splendid. And I think we need to start concentrating multimedia. Put things in video, even with the phone. Start teaching our staff, giving them tutorials or giving them, you know, access how to video in the streets. And keep your focus off the face of the protester and, you know, don't get them in trouble. And then put them on the Pacifica Foundation TV slot. But not just that one, because not too many people know about it. But also Facebook or Instagram or all these things, these places that young people are clicking on, and then somehow connect them into Pacifica. I talked enough. Anybody else?
This is Paulina.
Yes, Paulina.
As part of the Pacifica COVID Task Force, which is which was created by the National Board, we have been working on several initiatives to that end. And Steve Zeltzer is one of the more active people in that, creating a hub for content that would be under the umbrella of Pacifica, and that would brand Pacifica and identify Pacifica as a place to go for your, let's say, COVID news or your, February Black History Month news or your March 8th International Women's Day news, and that would be multimedia for sure, and it would gather content from across the world and not across the network, of course, as well, but also from people outside the network that could, you know, make us grow. And perhaps that's the point. The point is reaching out to beyond our regular audience, which is unfortunately dwindling. So I wanted to hear from maybe Sandy, who brought the question to the floor about what do we do about these dismal dismal numbers that we have from, you know, Nielsen's ratings. I don't know if Sandy has any ideas as well, not just questions.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. What do we do about this? And I've been listening to the comments made, and I think a lot of really good points have been made. Number one, content has to be good. Radio is visual, Nancy. We don't need to be visual with it. If you're doing it right, the listener creates his or her own picture, be it music, be it talk. What do we do about it? I think consistency of schedule is important. I think not talking to ourselves, which is what we're really, really good at, is important. And that means going outside the box. And that means getting new content and new programmers and new perspective, which we as individuals may not agree with. But I'll tell you, I'll play music I don't like, but I'll get back. I really like that. Someone out there is going to like it. Now, if you can hit on the right keys on the keyboard, the music will be beautiful. In other words, if you can gain the attention of a listener who otherwise thinks of radio as wallpaper, for just a little bit and engage, you've done your job. So I think flow of schedule is important, and I think getting some new content with a little different perspective that maybe what we view as the norm for Pacifica is really important too. Now, how do you get the airtime? How do you engage the program directors? How do you turn the ship is the question. We're volunteers. That's it. We're not the PD. We're not the station manager. We're not the people who really have the authority to do all that. So somehow there has to be a collaboration and an understanding that what we're doing now is not enough. So I would urge everybody on this call to keep an open mind. Keep an eye on KPFT. We've hired a new general manager, not an IGM, but a general manager named David Bay, who comes from a professional radio background, including community stations, iHeart stations, Clear Channel stations, with a bevy of experience, including on-air programming and IT both. I suspect, from my limited engagement with David, that we're going to see huge changes in Houston. We are starting at zero. We have a share that's below 0.1 and a QM that's 15,600. And for those not familiar with the term QM, it's a drag of listeners all week long that engage for more than a certain period of time, which I understand is 3 whole minutes. So if you're tuned in for 3 minutes, you're counted toward the QM. Pacifica Streams is a wonderful resource to really see what's going on at each station from a listener perspective. It'll give you an idea of your audience at any given time of the day, all week long. And you can see the peaks and valleys and the tune-ins and tune-outs and what is getting listeners' attention and what isn't. You need to look at that and then start building around what's working and move forward. So that's my answer. Thank you for my indulgence. Mm-hmm.
Sandy, you meant Pacifica Stats, right? Dot.
Well, actually, if you. Well.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah. Pacifica. Good, yeah. Stats.pacifica.org. Yes.
Stats.
You,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you that aren't connected, you can Google Pacifica Streams and you'll find it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
The blues at WPFW, I think I already said this, it's played weekdays as well. Are they the biggest, good in fundraising, the blues shows at WPFW?
I could speak to that, yes. Blues is all day Saturday, and a noon to one blues show Monday through Friday. That's generally our 12 to one hour. And then yes, all day Saturday. Sunday is also all music, but it's just straight ahead jazz and then American standards and even our Latin music in the evening, Sunday evening. The weekends have been sort of consistently make their quota. So, the sort of common wisdom at the station is not to change it, even though, that may not be very long term in terms of its orientation, but it is an older audience and like I said, they consistently support it. So, but it's weekends and the 12 to 1 is blues. The evening hours after, 7 is generally, straight ahead jazz and, modern stuff, and some other varieties of contemporary music. Okay, I'm done.
How many call-in shows do y'all have, and are they working now at PFW?
Well, we have community comment that's usually 11 to 12 on Monday, Wednesday through Friday. It's a slightly different show for depending on the day of the week, but most of those days from 11 to 12 is a call-in show. I don't know about any other times. our LSB show is in that slot on the last Friday of the month, and that's a call in, but it is 11 to 12.
Well, that's great. Noon hours where the peak goes
11 to 12, yeah, yeah.
Yes, the third.
I guess that 12 to 1 is blues generally.
Who is that?
Thomas?
Paulina,
right. Here with a question. Yeah, so I'm thinking of WBAI. They have very popular morning drive time shows that have a call in. They open the lines up, right? In the last part of the show, I'm thinking of Johanna Fernandez's A New Day. Very popular show. Are you guys doing stuff that's similar? I haven't looked at your grid in a while. I know, I'm not sure when Esther Verum has her show, but...
That's not a call-in. No.
There's no call-in, right? Yeah,
no,
yeah,
not for her.
It's all pre-recorded.
And,
That's right.
And she interviews, sort of other journalists. And Gerald Horn is almost weekly appear, on her show.
Right, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I listen.
I don't know Johanna Fernandez's show. What is it specifically?
Johanna Fernandez, A New Day. It's a drive time show. I believe it's. I don't know how many days a week. I believe it's maybe 4 days a week now on the AI. Maybe it's 7, if I'm not mistaken, 7 a.m. their time. And what she does is headline news, which she narrates, and then she does interviews, and then she opens up the lines, and the lines just light up. I mean, we hear voice after voice after voice interacting with the host and whoever the guests are. The last thing they did was actually absolutely excellent. It was on the Teamsters strike. They interviewed one of the Teamsters who was been on the ground, who's worked at the Hunts Point market for 36 years. It was beautiful. I recommend everybody look it up. A New Day on WBAI, the last show that aired. As an example of, I think, good radio. That was good radio. You know, even if you're not a producer, even if you're not a programmer, you know what good radio sounds like when you hear it. And I thought that was very, very good radio and an example to all stuff that really makes that people will later say, hey, did you hear this? Do you know BAI? Blah, blah, blah. So, of course, the focus is on working class issues, on different types of working class issues, housing, immigration, labor, healthcare, mental health. I mean, they've done a bunch. Oh, they also brought Young Voices on. We worked with them on that. We on COVID, Race, and Democracy. We have a project working with young people, high school students in Berkeley, who actually created their own little radio pieces, and we chose the best of them, and they streamed it, they broadcast it too on A New Day on WBAI, so it wasn't just on our national show, and always call-ins at the last maybe 20 minutes of the show. And it's a great format for drive time radio. It seems to work for BAI. It seems to, I don't know how much money they bring in, but as far as the radio goes, it really works. Check it out.
Yeah, she's Dr. Fernandez is a very strong speaker, and she's a teacher, isn't she? Doesn't she teach?
Yes, I forget which university, but somewhere in the, she's a university professor. She's the author of a book on the young, most recently of a book on the young lords. She has a very I mean, her politics come through, which I think is good because that's what people identify with when they hear a voice that's different, that's sure, but also she's very much able to involve, to make other opinions feel welcome, I think. And so I congratulate Linda Perry on bringing that on, and that I think that's working for BAI. I don't know what, and the thing is, it's very much also bringing in the local community, right? The Signal area. She's talking to people in the Bronx. She's talking to people in Queens. She's talking to people in Greater New York. Of course, it's locally oriented, but it brings in national and international topics and educates and informs. All right, I gave her a lot of kudos now. But to me, that's the model of a local community radio show. You do solid research, you produce it well. You have she's doing it live. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. It's very sound rich, meaning, when she does her headlines, she'll bring in clips. The engineer is awake and does it on time. That kind of deal, right? What we all expect from a good live radio show. And then when the lines open up, they just light up. And she can never take all the callers because she runs out of time, which is great. And, of course, it's drive time and it's New York. I've noticed that the few times I've listened, the voices are of older people. It's a lot of Latino and African-American listeners who have been listening to BAI for a long time. They're very grateful, they're appreciative, they're eloquent, they are informative, they bring in something to the conversation. And of course, it would be great. What I'm thinking is, how interesting. This should be interesting to young people too, but all we hear are call-ins from older callers. I'm not saying that, I'm not being ageist here, but I'm just thinking, how do we change that? Maybe the listening to the radio and calling in, maybe that's something that's generational. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. but those are my observations about that particular show as an example, which I really want to uplift.
Can I ask at the other stations, how many remote live broadcastings are you doing? How many shows are able to do that? At K, we don't have anybody from A here, but let's see it. W? That's all we have here. We don't have anybody from I, right? Mm-hmm. Thomas, Lucille, do y'all know how many live remote broadcasting shows are you doing?
I don't know that information,
mm-hmm.
but I can find out and get back to you.
Yes, and a way you can find out is like you'll have call-ins?
Yes, we do. I know we have call-ins, but I'm going to find, I don't know the number of.
Well, I'm glad you have call-ins. I'm envious.
Hi, so this is Heather. Forgive me.
Heather.
How do you... I'm just curious. I mean, so my program is on Monday nights, right, at 6:30, and I'm having to do Zoom interviews in advance. Most of us at WRFG are doing that now. But I'm just curious, how, when you're not in the station, how do you get the live calls? How does that work? I'd really like to know that. What do you do?
Paulina?
This is Paulina. I can tell you, Heather, the host is usually either on clean feed or on a complex situation, Lucy Live Light, something like that, where they, there's an engineer in the studio. There has to be one. So, or at least I don't know of any situation so far, not at least with Kay, where we would have remote engineering of a show. The engineering is done on the premises. So even if the host is remote, which would do, I think, for several shows, and I know, I don't know if Johanna at BAI goes in or if she's doing it remotely, but it's doable. It's a little bit harder because you don't see the engineer's face, so it's, you know, it has to be a very, very, either you have to have a good rundown and stick to it, or some other system, but it's doable basically. So let's imagine you're at home and you're the host, you're on some kind of a remote situation, which is super doable. Then when the engineer puts in the call, then when you say the lines are open, you have to find out. Somebody has to tell you that there are callers, right? You can't see. So I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're texting. Maybe there's another system. But it's doable. It's really not that complicated. It's a little bit more complicated, but it's still, I believe, still doable. Where the lines are open, you get a text from from the board op. We have 1, 2, 3 callers. So you say caller, you're on the line. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, right? Something like that, and then you keep going. And it can get clunky if you don't have a clear a way of communicating by text or some way with the engineer about what's going on, or maybe you need a line producer. So it's still complicated to engineer all of it completely remotely. I don't know who is doing that. If they are, please tell me how you're doing it, because I'd love to know as well, because I'm not going into the studio. I'm doing it remotely.
Thomas, to the stat.
Go ahead.
Regarding callers, when we do the LSB show, we're here, there is an engineer there at the studio. And by the way, all the music shows are still being done, you know, apparently most of them are being done with a single, I say DJ, and I somehow feel that's politically incorrect. I don't know what they are now. The curators of the shows, the programmers. In any case, many of them are going in, but the public affairs, no, they're doing it remotely. And the engineer coordinates the calls, is what it is. I would like to say, Paulina's comments had me looking at the BAI website, and it is... I noticed one big difference between BAI and PFW's websites is every square of the grid in BAI you click on, there's a show, and it goes to a uniform standard kind of page that where there's a picture of the programmer and a description of the show. There was a big one about Joanna Fernandez I read, and I realized I probably did meet her because she had something to do with a book on Mumia Abu-Jamal and was plugging it, touring a few years ago with it, and I think she signed it. But whereas PFW's, you look at their schedule grid, and there's clearly links that you can click on, but a lot of time I'm being led to people's Facebook pages. I don't think that's necessarily good. We should have something much more comparable to BAI's. And I'll say this about their grid. They pack in a lot more shows than PFW. We have programmers that have, some of them have 3-hour shows. Most, not many, but there are a lot of 2-hour jazz shows, and there's the occasional 3-hour show. And BAI's grid seems to be hell. At some point in certain hours, you have 2 shows in an hour. You have 30-minute programs. So you seem to have a lot more programmers who want airtime, so the shows are not as long generally, and probably in proportion fewer music shows. Your music seems to be packed, obviously late night.
By the way, I'm a KPFA. I'm not at BAI. I was just commenting on BAI.
Oh, Oh, I know, Paulina. You're in L.A. I have no idea that your grid. Yours is. But since we sort of broadcast with BAI on occasion, I see, for example, that New Day show is 5 days a week, except for the day that they carry COVID, Race, and Democracy. And then she has Democracy Now at this 8 o'clock hour. And yeah, a lot of.
Oh, really? They now have COVID, Race, and Democracy in the same slot? Oh,
they have it at 7 a.m. on Tuesday. Looks like you click on the button and you do get a brief blurb. It just says hosted by PNB COVID Task Force and New Time. Now, I wonder if this is just this week. Oh, this program schedule is for this week. It could even change. The week.
They air COVID, Race, and Democracy on Wednesdays at 5 a.m. normally. That's their regular.
Oh, they're doing
spot.
It Tuesday at 7.
Yeah. Okay. This time they made it Tuesday at 7, which is a better slot. But anyways, we're digressing, and I'm sure we're losing a lot of our other committee members here getting into the weeds of details of programming. I apologize for that.
They're still doing a half-hour evening news, which we cannot seem to pull off. Who is behind WBAI's evening news?
That's a co-production between BAI and DFW, the news.
If we're cooperating, that's news to me, but because I know that, I've been asking Katia what I think it's all done there. It seems to be every day of the week except... at least this week, except Saturday at 6 p.m., which is a working class heroes show. Anyway.
Which is very good, I think. Well, I've heard. It's young. It's they're a little rough around the edges, but they have a lot of potential, in my opinion. But you have a news director, Askia Muhammad, right? So. Something's happening there.
So no one knows what BAI itself is doing. Because I honestly, I talked to Askia yesterday or the other day, and he, there's no indication to me that he's doing the BAI news. I don't know. I just don't know.
All right, folks, it's coming up to... an hour and a half to the 3 p.m. Mark for Eastern. So what does the body want to do? That's what I want to know, because I've reserved for next Sunday. How is everybody? I mean, if we can get these two ladies to come on for 30 minutes each, Linda Perry, the program director at WBAI, and the Katia Stitt from WPFW. We'll have maybe 15 minutes to get ourselves in quorum and then go 30 minutes with one lady and or 30, 35 minutes and then another 30 minutes with the other lady. Be ready with questions. I really would like y'all to voice your questions so we sort of can be stimulating each other getting ready for this. And anything that you would like to ask them about content, about scheduling.
Nancy, are they committed to that next week, or could it, if you offered them the 31st and say February 7th, think they'd commit to 2 weeks from today rather than,
I forgot about inviting them, so I invited them 9:25 this morning, and they got back to me when? At 1:22, and they said, no, when did they call? They said at 1:07, a little after 1 o'clock, and they said, yeah, we're available. We're not available today and would love to join you at another time. So then I sent them back another email. I said, how about the 31st? I haven't gotten a response yet. So if they say yes, is this body ready to meet them next Sunday? And if they say no, does this body want to wait to meet again another week later, 2 weeks from now? It's up to the body. I mean, I'm ready to work anytime. But I don't have a show to do.
I would recommend that you reschedule them for a regular meeting time.
Let me look at the calendar. It's not moving. I don't know why. I think when my phone gets too cold, it doesn't want to work. Oh, now it's moving. Okay, let me see. February, let's look at February. Oh, February, it's just the third Sunday. That's KPFK is taken. So we have the 7th and the 14th open. So
I agree with Thomas. This is Paulina. I agree that we should invite them for the offer them the option of the 7th and schedule it right away, Nancy, if you can, or ask whoever can do that for you. I've never had access to posting to KPFC. But my preference would be for the 7th. But of course, if they reply to your email, which I saw, thank you for doing that. If they agree to come on and talk to us in a week, I'm available.
Okay, I will send them another email and ask them 31st, as Thomas was suggesting, or the February the 7th. And
I'm suggesting the 7th, Nancy, actually. And I think between now and then, we should be coming up with questions and maybe sending them to you or someone who can compile them.
Me.
Can compile them. By the way, did we elect officers today? No, or are we going to wait on that?
I think we better wait until we're replaced by our LSBs.
Okay.
Longer until the directors are also replaced, and that might be February, maybe. End of February. I don't know. It depends on how busy the the PMB and the LSBs are. Usually we...
This is Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Yeah. Every LSB has elected directors to the PMB. I'm not on the PMB anymore. So now the next task for each LSB will be to repopulate the committees. So the committee composition will change. Once that's done, we can elect officers at this committee. But in the meantime, we can maybe, I move that our chair pro tem be Nancy Saibara Naratomi. If that's in order, because, I suppose we're in limbo right now because the committees haven't been repopulated.
I think KPFK will probably elect their replacements on the 21st, right, in February?
That's right.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet. And I don't know when is the KPFA, they're not even meeting February. I hope they meet. let's see. They're meeting like every other month. They're doing the minimum, which I think is can be corrected with a bylaw change or amendment. Okay, so I will ask them and tell them. And the body doesn't want to meet on the 31st. I get the feeling from Lucille and Thomas and maybe Paulina. So I'll ask.
How many people are on the call?
The 7th.
7th, yeah. Is it Wally? Wally likes
the 7th. Yeah, I like the 7th.
I will ask them, these ladies, if they can come on the 7th. And if they cannot, I'm going to ask the two gentlemen on the West Coast, Quincy McCoy and Annyeong Fields, if they can come on the 7th,
Nancy, uh-huh. Sorry, Paulina. You're talking about the GMs. I thought that we were inviting the PDs. Laura Privis,
Laura Privis, invited. Yes, I invited. Mm-hmm. But I heard that...
And we don't have a PD right now at KPFK.
Yeah, so I was going to invite the GM. Doesn't he step forward if there's no PD?
I don't know what they're doing. The GM is supposed to appoint an IPD, but given that we don't have a budget to pay one, I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea.
Then he needs to take responsibility. If there's no program director, then I think the GM needs to answer questions. Yes, Thomas. Am I wrong?
Well, I'd just like to move that we invite both of them for the 7th, and send it out by tomorrow. And I, you know, and if we get one of the two, we can we move. You know, we prepare for that. But 2 weeks to prepare for it would be, you know, a good start, I think. And besides the timing, right, you know, at the beginning of the month would be helpful, I think, for at least for the PFW local, if we can, you know, if Katia will commit. But I think Nancy, you need to ask them today or tomorrow to
That's
commit
right.
to 2 weeks from today, and then find, you know, and then send a reminder 2 or 3 days before.
Okay, now if they cannot do 7th, I might schedule a 14th meeting. That's a week later.
Well, I don't know what would keep them. If they can commit, you know, to a meeting, you know, a phone meeting for 30 minutes on a Sunday, I don't know why they wouldn't be able to if they had enough notice.
I can't speak for them.
I
think Paulina suggested 30 minutes each for each one. So we will not have a meeting on the 31st. And I will reserve the 7th, and I will ask the correspondence, I'll carbon copy the committee, so, you know, because I can't remember.
Nancy, yeah. This is Paulina. Yes. Just to clarify, we're not inviting all of them at the same time, right? We want
no.
to maybe, since Leah, Linda and Katia have agreed that they would like to meet with us, they just want more notice time. Maybe we should start with them, right? With the BFW, BAI, BGs, and then move from there. Okay.
Yes, and I gave them a choice. Linda and Katia, I gave them, 1:45, 2:15-ish, and then from 2:20, what did I say? 2:20 to 2:50, you know, Eastern time, anyway, so that they have 5 minutes. This is not together. They're not together. They're going to be separate with about 30 or 35 minutes each. Okay, so that's our homework. Get the questions. Send them to everybody so we all on the same page, you know. And that, I like to send everybody everything because, well, what if something happened to me or something might happen to my phone, you know. Somebody else has to take over, you know. So, work has to go on. Okay, and we concentrate on content. So your brain somewhere start creating how we can get better content. And at KPFT, we're going to need some programmers. I mean, he's starting to put programmers from our HD channel into our FM. And I know when that happens, they usually cannot do two different shows. They usually stop doing the HD and then they just do the FM. And then there's a big hole in the HD, you know. We need programmers.
Help,
we need people who
help is on the way, Nancy. Help is on the way.
Yeah, I know. We need to recruit young people too, not people about to, you know, drop dead. We need
Nancy.
Young people.
Nancy,
I think
yes.
that's already started,
yes, yes.
Nancy.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
I know we're about to go, and I've got to get off as well. But I just you were talking about young people, and I was wanting to share with folks also that quite a few years ago. At WRFG, that's what we did. We brought in young activists in the morning to do a whole, you know, news section, actually, and what's happening in the community and so forth. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful model for introducing young folks to community radio altogether. So I just wanted to share that. We can maybe talk
how
about
much,
that.
How much time did you give them in the morning and about what time?
They had I was not doing it. Our station manager was doing it at the time, but we had about 30 minutes of news, and so we had about four young folks who would come in and do the reporting. It was great.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Just to get a younger
yeah.
voice on this, it's good too.
Exactly.
No,
it was wonderful. It was. It was great.
We need a mix. We need a mix, because if you have only young people, they do weird, strange things. And that,
that's true. It was great. It was a great opportunity to introduce young folks to the radio and to help them develop some skills as well. It was just great.
Okay.
Introduce them to the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
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 It was good. Heather, good to hear that. Yeah. Nancy, just a reminder, if you don't mind sending Otis McClay a reminder, if that's what he would like. A reminder that we held a meeting
on whatever today's date is, and
okay.
And time, date and time, and let him know to grab it from Maestro and post it, because we didn't stream today, and I apologize for that. I'm having technical
okay.
issues.
Yeah.
You see,
grab
no,
it and post it.
Yeah, tell him that we had a meeting. It's we held it on via Maestro. He'll be able to grab it and post it.
Okay, and I put could not stream. We could not stream.
Yeah, tell him could not stream. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'll try to get the minutes of the last two meetings and this meeting, there's three, so we know what we've done, and maybe put a little bit of action items that we discussed today, content, and all the other things will help, but the content, yeah, get some young people in, activists. All right, so we'll see each other at least February 7th.
Very good. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Take care.